This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
O'clock hour on a Friday. From the text line, Nance fits golf a lot better than football, in my opinion. Totally agree.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, he just has that voice. Those soothing sexual sounds of Jim Nance when the Masters music is in the background, and then when they go to commercial, they play the Bruce Hornsby in the range. Oh, Valley Road, Muckle.
Harbor Lights by Bruce Hornsby.
Good song.
Bar and Lawrence, too.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Hornsby, most underrated musician of all time.
You think so? That's a bold statement, Cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He did a lot of work with the Grateful Dead that people don't know about. Did a lot of work with the Eagles. Did a lot of work with Jackson Brown. Jackson Brown did a lot of work with the Eagles. Bruce Hornsby in the range. Mandolin Rain. Should have listened to that
great
yesterday.
Song, man. That's a banger right there.
Every Little Kiss. I don't know why I love Bruce Hornsby. Anybody named Bruce, pretty much. Not anybody named Bruce, but most musicians.
Who's your favorite Bruce of all time?
Come on.
Coslet?
Jenner.
Yeah.
I don't know if we call him Bruce anymore. This is Nate Taylor yesterday on Connor Embry. That kind of took storm on Twitter.
From the day they traded Tyreek Hill away, they have yet to have a 1,000-yard receiver. And again, given the amount of, like, hey, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you know, Sky Moore, you know, these were all players that were under Connor Embry's responsibilities and duties, and none of those players really got marketably better. And that obviously includes Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, when we know they are very talented on the football field. If you can get a, you know, more qualified, dedicated, you know, I want to say, like, who can provide more accountability, but honestly, like, just more solutions to what you can see on the field, that wide receivers coach can do a marketably you know, sizable, seismic improvement for this pass catching group, because one of the things that whoever that next coach is going to have to say, you know, this is what your quarterback prefers. Like, this is where the sideline is, Xavier Worthy. Hey, this is what teams are going to present to you if Rashee Rice is on the field next season. And whoever they draft, like, I still think, hey, you know, we didn't learn a ton about Jalen Royals, but I still think the Chiefs will probably draft a receiver, would be my guess, at some point, maybe the mid rounds in the draft. Hey, whoever that player is, like, you got to give them solutions. You got to give them ways to improve immediately. And it's understandable that, you know, for as much as people were clamoring, I know the receivers themselves were frustrated with, you know, their own position coach.
So that's Nate Taylor, basically on what happened with why Connor Embry is not there. And I do feel that there are times when, you know, future Hall of Famers or guys that will go on and do bigger things kind of tell you what to do, you probably listen.
Yeah.
But there's also a role for a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the role for the coach is what you all know it is. Like, that's the guy you go to. That's the person you talk to. That's, you know, I'm sure that when Frank Clark was on the team and he was talking to a up-and-coming Chris Jones, he told him a lot. But where does Chris Jones always give his credit to?
Spags. Tamba, too, though.
Yeah, right? Like, those guys, right? Like, Tamba helped Joey Bosa. I remember the video clearly when it was, like, Tamba's last game, and at the end of the game, it's him and Bosa over there talking about different tactics. Mm-hmm. But I bet Joey Bosa doesn't go back and say, Tamba Ali has taught me everything I need to know. It was probably coaches that got him there. And that's why it's important, because I get it. Like, people will go back and say, oh, well, the Chiefs coaching staff is full of nepotism. It's all these guys that Andy knows that he trusts, and it's family and stuff like that. So if Andy trusts him, then that must work out. That doesn't always happen.
Right.
Right. Like, you can't just bring in your best friend of your life and be like, hey, come do 4 hours of radio 5 days a week with me. It might be cool for, like, the first couple of days. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, man, we need more.
Right. Exactly.
I need more.
Right. I need more out of you.
And, you know, like, I'd never worked with you before. I mean, maybe a couple of shows, and I think we're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think that, you know, that's what you need, is you need that equal balance of players, but you need more balance and leadership in your coaching staff, because at the end of the day, those are the guys that report back to Andy more often than not the guy like DeAndre Hopkins or Travis Kelce, which I totally agree. They should be there. They should be vocal points. You should pass on your leadership, and then maybe one day they do end up being coaches because what they did was so well. But at the time, that's a microcosm of what the coach should be doing.
Well, here the coach needs to basically, in my opinion, it's like your teacher or whatever. Let's just use that as an example, because that's what coaches are. And I, for whatever reason, I was thinking about this last night. That guy Tom Moore finally retired down in Tampa, like 95 years old, been around the NFL for 70 years or something like that, coaching. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, that guy's retiring and walking away. And when he goes away, like, what are people going to remember? And for whatever reason, I thought they're going to remember Tom Moore was a teacher, man. Like, that guy was a teacher to all of these students, all of these years in the NFL, and teaching them the offense and teaching and teaching and teaching. And in order to be a good coach, you have to be a good teacher. And that's your job, to be that teacher, to explain things, to put the game plan in place, to implement, you know, the game plan, the teacher. And then, like, you know, the offensive coordinator is like the vice principal. And then the head coach is the principal. You got to carry out their vision, but you also have to work around and understand your class, your wide receivers, whoever it is in your room, and maybe you have to tailor your lesson plans differently because of the subject matter, or the subjects, I should say, that are in your class. And so you have to be able to adjust and adapt to the students that are out there. And so you need to lay in that game plan. You need to execute that game plan. You need to make sure these people are held accountable, put in position to be successful, all of that stuff. And then you need the veteran guys who will go, all right, remember when Spector told you to do that? We're not doing that. We're going to act like we're going to do that, but we're going to do it my way, and we're going to do it the right way, and I'm going to tell you how to do it because I've been around the block for 15 years, and I know how to go out in the NFL and catch a pass, and I'm going to show you what to do. I think you need both, okay? And I also think, and this is going to be a bad statement that I'm about to make, but I think it's easier to spot a bad coach than a good coach, because a good coach is just in the background. A year ago, nobody knew who Connor Embry was, right? They were winning. Nobody knew who this guy was. You start to not play good football, everybody knows who you are, and everybody starts to talk about you and wants you gone. And so I think it's just easier to spot a bad coach than it is to recognize good coaching, because good coaching, like everything, you're supposed to be good. You're supposed to do your job. But when the coaching is bad, man, it stands out. And it has stood out this year for those wide receivers who don't even know where the sideline is half the time. And that is coaching. That's like, that guy makes that mistake, you pull him in the room, and you never make that mistake again. These big white things here, stay away.
I mean, there's literal drills that they do to know where the sideline's at.
Yeah.
I mean, this is rep. This is repetition.
Yeah, so the sloppiness is all on the coaching. And that's why Connor Embry had to go. And the 1,000-yard wide receiver thing, how many times have I told you now over the last couple of years, don't take anybody on your fantasy team. Nobody's going to get 1,000 yards. This guy will have 6. This guy will have 7. This guy will have 8. If you're doing all of that, it works. But you weren't doing any of that because the wide receiver was a vacuum wasteland this year.
I think that's
Chiefs.
Why it's important to get somebody that has that sort of drive to, like, maybe have the credibility to be that coach and know what they're doing. Like, I know it's easy to say the Shieldhouse thing where he's got Puka and Davante Adams, but he's still helping out and developing routes for the talent to be shown on the field. Like, you can have a guy with all world talent, but if he's not set up for success, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. You can say, you know, well, yeah, Puka's going to be a top 5 receiver for the next 5 years. Davante Adams going to wear a gold jacket and, you know, Canton one day. It's obvious. Yeah, I get that. But, like, you know what Davante Adams does really well? He runs really good routes inside the 5-yard line. Look at Matthew Stafford's number, like 10 touchdowns from the 1-yard line, 18 inside the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Davante Adams is really super talented, but to have the routes being drawn up and to have the scheme to be able to do that, that's great. And Davante Adams can be a hell of a teacher to somebody that's like a Puka Nacua and say, hey, when I'm in this chip sort of situation, I'm always leaning this way and then I do this. But you're not going to be in those situations if the plays aren't drawn up or created from your coaches to put you in that field. So it's 1 and 2. But the one is more important than the second one.
I think also, too, you know, you mentioned the red zone stuff, and that got me thinking, because when was the last time this team was productive from a passing standpoint in the red zone?
Well, that's why this isn't just a this year issue.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is, and when Dusty said that, I'm like, oh, you're starting to see for multiple years they've had problems in the red zone. And I think part of the problem that they've had in the red zone is that they don't have the right personnel to be effective now in the red zone. Mitch talked about how the league has changed and it's back to that Marty ball type of offenses now in the NFL. Even before the league has changed, it changed from a wide receiver standpoint. The Chiefs never had that big guy that could run back, you know, across the back end, of, you know, line of the end zone. and catch the ball and make a big time play over everybody else, like you see a lot of these teams do. The Chiefs need to kind of stop, you know, stereotyping their wide receiver as a 5'9 fast guy and look for guys that can go out there and make plays all over the field, regardless of size. Because I do think they got into a, I guess you could say, like a little bit of a lull where it was like it's a carbon copy of every wide receiver, and they wanted every wide receiver to be the next Tyreek Hill, and they fell into that trap as well.
Good or bad for the game? We talked about Carson Beck being 23 years old. The average age for the Indiana Hoosier team is 23 years old. For perspective, the Green Bay Packers' average age this season is 25 years old. Cignetti knows what he's doing. Grown man teams are the way of the future.
I don't disagree with that. You're more mature. You can handle things better, you know, when you're in your early 20s and you are in your teens. You've already adjusted to life on your own and being away.
Yeah,
they're adults. You're adults.
Yeah, they're not college kids.
They're not
anymore.
Kids.
That's why they shouldn't be playing college.
Yeah. Now, is it good for college at 23 years old? I mean, I got to be honest, man. I left college like a month after I turned 22. I was ready to go.
Yeah.
Like I would have done it all over again. I love it. But you get to a certain stage where you're like, okay, I'm ready for that next chapter in my life. You're hanging out at a college campus like this Beck guy. Like, that's like somebody's dad rolling
it's
in.
It's weird.
Yeah. Don't you want to move on at that point in life? I don't know. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. It doesn't matter. But I just look at it like, I know I was ready to move on at 22. I felt old at that point in time, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know exactly
definitely.
What you're talking
about. Definitely. Yeah. There's a weird vibe there. You want to learn. You want to grow. You want to see new things. And also, like, it's against what this is about. This is about college-age kids getting better developed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Helping so they can go pro or move on with their lives.
What it was about.
Yes, I guess you're right.
We'll dive back more into what Andy Reid had to say yesterday and what these last couple of days and the three moving forward are kind of like in life here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.